Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give, and there's no regular commitment. Just click the link in the show description to support now.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
I know. Hello and welcome to another episode of the Video Games Now podcast. It's Rodney and I'm joined by Eric.
Hello.
And striving to get Employee of the Month, we have Bradley joining us from his water closet at his work. Hello, Bradley.
Hey, guys.
Sorry. Anyways, so today we're going to talk about the State of Play that was earlier this week. That was all the news seems to come out like immediately after our last podcast, so there's just a full week of just us like waiting to record the next podcast. But so State of Borderlands 3 was also released, so we'll talk about that a little bit. Will will probably join us later. We played Sea of Thieves until 1:30 in the morning last night, so we were a little freaking tired. But yeah, we're going to get right into all the news coming up right now.
Right now.
All right, so State of Play came out, I believe, on Tuesday, and Eric, you actually covered that event.
I rushed home from work as quickly as I possibly could to catch it before they actually started. So I got it right from the beginning when it was live, which was nice. It was a pretty short little thing. It's basically just a voiceover with somebody explaining some of the new games and things that are going to be coming out. It was actually pretty good. If you're a VR-heavy person, if you're really into the VR on your PlayStation, then it was definitely a State of Play for you for being their first one out. Lots of big VR either additions to games that already exist or new games that are going to come out. I'm excited about a handful of them. I don't know if you want me to just go through the list of ones that have come out.
Yeah, well, I'm just on our website, videogamesnow.ca, and I'm just reading through the article you wrote. And so the only person, you don't own a PS, right, Eric? It's just Bradley and Will, basically, they don't own a PS?
Oh, no, I have a PS4. I'm a lot like Will. I'd pretty much buy everything, if I don't play it. I even had a Dreamcast, I really dig deep when it comes to systems. Yes, I went and bought a PSVR. Basically, I think my PlayStation is for VR only, because I don't really get into many other games unless it's an exclusive for PlayStation. So, yes, I play my VR quite often. Beat Saber is probably my favorite game in the VR world.
Yeah, there's some crazy-ass people in that game.
Like, yeah, I'm not as good as them, but yes, I do. I do enjoy it. They just came out with a DLC pack from some new music, so that kind of expanded the game pretty good. So I've been sweating my ass off to that. So
nice. Well, I expected you to be the best, Eric, so I'm a little disappointed. But so just a couple of the titles. Obviously, the big one that State of Play talked about was the Iron Man VR, and this actually looks quite interesting. I saw a bit of gameplay for it yesterday, and yeah, it just, what a great idea, actually.
That's probably one of the ones that I'm probably most excited about. I'd like to see how it actually plays, because just by watching some of the gameplay of it, you don't really get a feel for it too much, but when you're standing in your living room flying around, I'm interested to see how disorienting that may become when you're flying around like Iron Man and shooting stuff, and you know how he does. So I'm actually excited about that one. I'll probably pick that one up when it finally releases. Yeah, that was actually probably one of the more exciting things that they talked about in the State of Play.
Nice.
Yeah.
Hey, at the beginning of the podcast, did I say this is Dan? Did I call you Dan? I'm just like having a flashback. Like, oh, did I call Eric Dan? Shit. Whoops.
Nope, you said Eric.
Whoops. Okay, good. I'm really tired, so I thought I fucked that up. Bradley, what are your thoughts on Iron Man VR?
It looks fun. I think it'll be an interesting, just like Eric said, kind of interesting how people feel while they're playing it. Because I know a lot of information or a lot of feedback I get is that VR gets you kind of motion sickness. So it'll be interesting.
Yes, I got motion sick when I played it was the Toon Wars game. I think that was the name of it too. Will and I played it at PAX one year, and yeah, it was PlayStation VR, and you held the controller, but the right stick was disabled, and you looked through obviously the VR. So, yeah, I got quite sick on that, especially like when you jump down from a cliff, right? Because you jump down from the cliff, and your body reacts as to all the regular feelings that you get when you actually jump off a cliff. I have experience in that. It's just totally confusing. So for those who have not done VR yet, it's gonna be an interesting ordeal. That's all I gotta say about that.
VR can't, like, depending on the game, I agree with you completely, because your brain knows one thing, but you're telling it that it's okay, it's not real, and it really does. I mean, the Elder Scrolls VR is, if you're not ready for it, that game can be super disorienting. Like, stuff starts flying around you, and you're looking around real fast, and then you gotta, like, oh yeah, that's a rough game. That one actually almost made me a little sick. So I can understand if you have a queasy stomach, VR can be a bit daunting.
Yeah, and it's not something that you can just be like, it's okay, it's just a game, I'm sitting in a chair. Like, you can't talk yourself out of it, because that kind of makes it worse.
Yeah, it does. Because then I find that the ones that you have to use the controller are harder. If you're standing in the room and you actually get to move your hands around and actually kind of like interact with the world a little more, it's not quite as bad, because you kind of like take it away. Your brain forgets the fact that, you know, you're doing something you shouldn't be doing, and you kind of just immerse yourself into it. But when you're holding the controller, you still have the controller, so you always have that like grounding. That kind of throws you off a little bit. That's kind of the problem I had there's a VR expansion to Star Wars, and you fly the X-Wing, and it was Battlefront 1, I think it was, and you have to use the controller to steer the ship, but you look around with your headset, and it looks amazing, but when you actually start having things fly past you, and then you're going one way and looking the other way, you can't, and you're not even moving, you're sitting still in your living room, but you can start to be like, ooh, oh my, I'm going to throw up all over my floor. So you got to just take your headset off or something for a second. It's usually what I do.
Yeah. Bradley, have you had much experience with VR?
No, I have very little. I have a buddy of mine that has it. I haven't spent the $400 yet to pick it up.
Cool. Well, I have a Samsung Gear VR, which is like the equivalent of finding fucking Spy Kids in a cereal box. So it's not the best, but and the games available on the Samsung store aren't the best either. So I need a true VR system, but that's pretty much what I've used in the last little bit. So. So No Man's Sky Beyond was announced, with VR, sorry, not announced. It was the next free update to come to No Man's Sky is one worth looking into if you have a VR headset like this game, this gives new life to the game that has become a cult favorite after its rough release. although some VR in the vast open world of No Man's Sky might have me looking to the stars. So yeah, it's No Man's Sky with VR, so that's cool.
Yeah, it's pretty much the whole game, I guess. They're just adding VR. So if you like No Man's Sky and you really want to be more immersed than you were in the first place, now you can be. That's pretty much all
it is. There's stuff to do in that game now, right? Okay.
I have a buddy of mine that plays it pretty religiously. He's a big Minecraft guy, and this game for him kind of, I guess, is a version of Minecraft without so much building. But he said it's basically, they've got so much stuff now that you can stick. It's like Sea of Thieves. You know, before it was terrible, and now you play it, and 4.5 hours have gone by, and you didn't even know they happened. But it's so slow. I tried it with him one day, and it's slow. Like, really slow. And it's hard for me to stay engaged in it, because it's like, you spend more time plotting your course than you do playing sometimes. So
there's space horses in that game? I've never played the game, so I'm just speculating.
I never got into that with them. I was on a planet, and we were like mining and getting stuff and setting up for other things, and we were picking up supplies off the planet to take them somewhere else to another planet to drop them off.
Yep.
And I was like, this is taking forever. Like, what, are we going to do anything? And he's like, yeah, we just got to finish doing this. And like 20, 25 minutes went by, and all we were doing was finding stuff. And I was like, I want to shoot something. Like, real bad. And we just kind of never did. And I was like, you know, I'm going to go play something where I can kill somebody.
Yeah.
And I did. Nice. So that's...
That was Sea of Thieves,
right? It's a slow game. It's not for everybody. If you like it, you'll love it. If you don't, then just don't even try. So...
Yeah.
That's my pro... My pro take on that game.
Cool. Hey, Mr. Bradley, what do you think of this next game? Blood and Truth VR is another one that was announced.
I don't know. A lot of the VR games, they looked fun, but again, I go back to that motion sickness thing. So I think a lot of them can be interesting, and this one has some cool mechanics to it, I guess. But it's a wait and see for me.
Okay, what about you, Eric?
This one goes along the lines of the Iron Man VR for me. There's not a lot of really good shooter games, in my opinion, on the VR yet. There's a few of them that are okay, but you can definitely feel like you're not really connected as much as you wish you could be. So this might be the first time that somebody releases something that kind of immerses you into the first-person shooter a little more. So I'm more concerned with the movement. The movement in the games are always the hardest, because like in Elder Scrolls, all you can do is that weird teleport like 10 feet to move forward. You can't just walk like normal. I hope this game doesn't have that kind of thing. I'm hoping it kind of picks up like kind of like Division does, and like pick a point and then run to it, and pick a point and run to it kind of thing. Would be nice.
Right, yeah.
Doom VR has that teleport too, doesn't it?
Yeah, to move around the map, you have to like zoom from point to point. It's basically wherever you're looking at that moment. When you click the controller, it just takes you like 5 feet in that direction, or 10 feet in that direction, depending on the movement. And which it's like, I guess the best way they can figure out to do it. I just wish somebody would come up with a new way, because that can be really disorienting. And you can easily zoom past people. Like, you'll be fighting somebody and you'll go to like strafe away from them, but you strafe like 20 feet away and you're like, and then they hit you in the back and you're like, well, this was bullshit. So that's my big hiccup on when I play games that have a first person aspect to VR. So it kind of steers me away. So I'm waiting to see what the actual controls are on this Blood and Truth.
Yeah.
Because, until then, I'm going to reserve it as something exciting to play, because it reminds me of like a 007, like you're like a secret agent kind of guy. But until I see how the controls work, I'm probably not going to go forward with it.
Yeah.
Because, yeah.
So since the North American culture is to work everybody till they fucking die, they've released a vacation simulator. or will be releasing a vacation simulator in VR. So for those of you who can't afford one, guess what? It's cheap now. So, yeah, what do you guys think about that?
Okay. I'm going to start that one, and I'm going to tell you why. Is because I have the job simulator on my VR, which is the first iteration of this game. Job simulator is exactly what you think it is. You basically play a cartoony version of a job. And there's these computers that float around and talk to you while you're doing the job, and it's like a simulation of the job. So there's one where you're in a cubicle, one where you play as like a mechanic. There's a convenience store worker and a chef, I believe, are the four of them. I can't think if there's a fifth one off the top of my head right now. But it's all very cartoony, off the wall, bonkersy crap. It's actually kind of amusing. My kids love it to death. They think it's fantastic. I think it's fun. It's not something that holds my interest for a long period of time, but it is definitely quite funny. This vacation simulator looks like they just kind of picked up from their job simulator, and I'm probably going to buy it simply because my kids want it that much. So
wait till your kids Brad, actually start working.
What's that?
So wait till your kids actually start working.
I know. They're going to really be pissed because that shit's not at all how work works. They like to throw things at everybody because you can throw stuff at all the different other computers that are working in the same office as you. And they love throwing stuff at everybody. I'm like, that's a liability. Mm-hmm. You guys are definitely going to get...
That's what I was going to touch on. I think this game being the predecessor to the job simulator, and then the job simulator has so many funny like videos out there of people like trash talking the computers and throwing stuff at them and like playing the paper ball into your garbage can, and that's all they're doing all day, and like making funny videos for entertainment. So I think this game will have some good content being released by people being creative with it. I think the game itself is probably going to be a little dull, but people kind of make it better than it really is by having those funny moments and creating some really entertaining videos.
Yes, I agree with that very much so.
All right.
The kids watch people stream that all the time. That's where they figured out all the little tricks and secret things that you can find inside the different worlds, which I didn't realize, but there's a ton of Easter eggs inside those games.
Oh yeah.
So they find all sorts of weird stuff you can do, and like as the chef, you can mix all sorts of ingredients and it turns it into all sorts of weird nonsense. And they didn't know any of those until they watched some people stream them. Hmm. And yeah, you can kind of make the game entertaining for yourself in your own way is really what it is.
Nice.
And so yeah.
All right. So there's a bunch of other VR games that we won't really touch on because they don't look exciting, but they could be. Who knows? Mini Mech Mayhem, Jupiter and Mars, Falcon Age, Trover Saves the Universe, Everyone Golf VR. Oh, fucking another golf game. Table of Tales. I thought that's a table of tennis for a second, and I'm like, so golf and fucking Pong copy. and then Five Nights VR Help Wanted.
Cool.
So the non-VR stuff that was announced, obviously Mortal Kombat 11 was announced, or not announced, but a new trailer came out. So for those MK11 fans, get excited. I've never been into Mortal Kombat. It's never really interested me.
The Mortal Kombat 11 looks pretty good to me. It kind of, and people are going to get really angry when I say this, but I'm going to say it anyway. To me, it looks like Injustice 2, just with all the Mortal Kombat characters in blood, because it's made by the same people. So, Injustice 2 is a really fun game if you like fighters. So, I'm sure Mortal Kombat 11 is going to be fantastic. I like the fact that they've added some of the original characters with original skins on them. So that's really kind of cool because it kind of throws you back to that old arcade feel when you were at the roller rink and decided to spend $27 trying to play Mortal Kombat and looking impressive in front of your friends and you're not. So That's
because you have the rollerblades that aren't in a line. They're like the four in each corner. Those shitty ones.
Right, and then you're falling over while you're trying to do it.
Yeah, exactly. That's exactly why you didn't do well.
So. Sure, that's why.
Actually, you know what? I Brittany, my wife, and I were trying to. We're gonna go rollerblading a couple years ago, and then she found out that hers don't. I went out and bought some. I bought some for like $200 and some because I'm like, I'm gonna use these a lot. And then we found out that hers didn't fit her. Like, we didn't even try them on before I went and bought some. So then we haven't gone rollerblading since, and it's been 2 years, and I bought these fucking rollerblades for a retarded amount of money. And, yeah, so just yesterday, I'm like, oh, I'll take them out of the box. They still have the fucking tags on them and everything. I took them out of the box, and I put them on, and I'm like, all right, you know, I play hockey, so this should be too hard. And, yeah, I found out that it's quite difficult because you can't really stop like you can on ice. So, no. Yeah, and I took my dog for a roll, and, yeah, that didn't go very well. So, lesson learned, don't take your dog on a walk with the rollerblades, because then the dog sees something it wants, and then you can't fucking stop it. So, yeah.
Yeah, I agree with you completely. I used to be an attendee in hockey, and I put on rollerblades to play roller hockey with my kids because they play roller hockey now. And I was like, this isn't the normal. This isn't how it works at all. So, yeah, I know how you feel.
Man, tendy, I would never be able to be a fucking tender. Fuck that.
Oh, yeah. I always got I got shit shot at me all the time. I loved it. It was like my favorite thing. But I'm fucked in the head, so.
Yeah, but anyways, back onto video games. So we have Ready Set Heroes, which is a dungeon crawler, like a lot of the different dungeon crawlers out there, but
it's a cool competitive dungeon crawler. Like, you're competing against other people, which is kind of a nice twist to it.
Yeah,
I thought that was really interesting too. Like, that's a really fun concept. Like, you go in and you don't realize, I guess you will realize it, but you don't, you know, you're trying to get to the end game, I get, or end level before the other team, and then you get there sooner, you get more energy and more power-ups and things like that to begin with, which gives you that advantage. I thought that was a pretty neat concept for a dungeon crawler.
Yeah, I agree. This was probably one of the games I was most excited to at least get my hands on and try.
I'm wondering how much that'll be, like, price point-wise, because I don't think I would pay, like a full-price game for kind of a dungeon crawler, but at the same time, I would probably still try it. I just don't think I would spend that much money on it.
Okay, here.
Well, I think Ballpark is going to be like in the 40s to 50s range. I can't see them charging more than that. Like, that's probably the high point.
Okay, I forgot that this was announced, and I'm kind of happy that I found it on this podcast. So, Nintendo VR or Nintendo Labo VR kit. So, is Nintendo so short on fucking manpower and supplies that they make you build the fucking VR kit?
Hell yeah. I mean, we got shit. And they came out with the ones where you got to build all your fun little controls anyway. Why not?
Well, those were... Yeah, I mean... But if I'm going to play VR for hours, I'm going to want to have something that when I sweat on it, it doesn't fucking disintegrate.
Yeah, I know how you feel there, because when I play Beat Saber, my headset is just soaking wet. So, yeah. my fiance hates playing Beat Saber right after me, because she's got to get a towel and like wipe it all down and clean it all off before she can play it after me. She hates that. But, I didn't even really think about that. But, I think we have an article on the website about it too, that I found. And that's a good point. Like, that shit would just like, then you gotta buy another one. That's how they did it. You just buy more cardboard.
Oh, you can either buy a $1,000 VR kit or an $80 per use VR kit. Yeah. What were we gonna say, Brad?
The games themselves, though, for VR, like for the Labo, they're not going to be strenuous. They're little kids' VRs. Like, we're not the market for that at all. I think it's more or less the enjoyment of building it for little kids and parents watching them play it. So.
Yeah, maybe it's a test run. It's like, if you like it, we'll buy the $1,000 one.
Yeah, kind of. I could see that working, but the games themselves, like when you're an elephant, like there's only so much you can really do being an elephant. Like, if you're going to play, maybe play it for like 10, 15 minutes, enjoy it, and then be like, okay, fuck this, I'm done, moving on, give me Mario again.
You know what, actually at PAX last year, I played the Goose Simulator. I think I talked about this a couple times on the show, but it was fun. I quite enjoyed it, but it wasn't a VR. Could you imagine being a fucking POV of a goose in a VR? And not even the standard goose, like a Canadian goose, like the fucking most arrogant piece of shit goose there ever was.
That's what I was gonna say, like a big asshole goose that runs around like poking people.
Oh, dude.
And, like, trying to pull down people's pants or something.
Canadian geese are the most fucking arrogant assholes that ever exist. Like, they just kind of sit and squat on the lawn and they just kind of like look at you, like still with stink eye. And then they look, I'm not sure what their food source is, but it's in the ground somewhere. Like, it's like fucking worms or something. So they'll like drill holes all over the lawn. Like, they'll completely butcher this lawn with holes. And then they'll just shit on everything. They'll just like, they'll beacon the whole fucking lawn to find, like, every inch has a fucking hole from the geese, like, just kind of poking its face in there. And then, when it's done, they just like literally group shit over the entire lawn. So it's like a hole, a goose shit, and then another hole, like, through the whole fucking lawn, and you're like, really? Like, can you fucking not be a dink? Yeah. And you can walk right up to them. You can walk right up to them and be like, hey, asshole, and then it'll look at you and be like, eh. Yeah. So, that's my little spiel on geese.
I've watched enough videos of geese trying to kill people that I know better than talking to the geese.
Yeah, where are those lovely white geese? I'm sure they're the same way. They just depict them differently. But, yeah, anyways. So, yeah, the Goose Simulator was a lot of fun. And because it just fit the character. Because geese are assholes. Oh, okay, a little off topic. Did you guys see that episode of Family Guy where Peter and Donald Trump are in a fist fight? And then Justin Trudeau, like, flies off on fucking two Canadian geese. Like, he's standing on two Canadian geese. I fucking died. I thought that was fucking clever.
Yes, I've seen that one before. That, yes. Anytime that Peter fights anyone, usually is an episode that I'm willing to watch. Because yep. He fights that chicken or whatever all the time.
Yep.
And I'll watch that one just because I it's interesting to see how they can flow a fist fight.
Yeah, it is quite interesting.
For 10 minutes.
Yeah.
It's pretty impressive, actually.
Yeah.
Seth MacFarlane's a genius.
He's good. Okay, so we have another sci-fi thriller game called Observation. They showed a trailer off in the State of Play. Leave it to game studios over at PlayStation to show off what looks like a deep and immersive single-player game. It is hard work to tell what the overall direction of the game will take, but an amazing graphics and what looks like gameplay makes this game an intense-looking game. So, yeah. What were your thoughts when you first saw that, Eric?
At first, I was like, it kind of reminded me of that Sandra Bullock movie where she's like stuck in space or whatever.
Gravity.
And I was like, yeah, that one. And I was like, what the shit is happening? And after a few minutes, it started like popping up the little promos about what is going to happen. And it's like, it's almost like kind of reminded me of it says that you control the space station in the trailer. And I was like, okay, how? And that's where I was kind of like confused by what the gameplay is going to be. But if that's the case and you're kind of like, you're kind of like leading this person who's like lost in space on a space station and you're the computer. I thought that was a good twist on the idea. It looks amazing. I mean, if you have 4K and all that good stuff, it's going to look incredible. It's really well rendered, really well put together. And I don't think that's just going to be for the trailers. I honestly think this is going to be one of those games that's going to be like Become Human that looks amazing on the screen. So I'm just interested to see more gameplay of it because it could be a really good game.
Nice, yeah. What about you, Bradley?
I was left really confused. I don't know, I just didn't get it. Like, yeah, the whole you are the space station and then the video, it looked cool, but I was like, really confused going, okay, well, what am I going to be doing? What's the end goal of this game? Like, I don't know. I want to see more. I'll probably try it out. It's one of those games. It looks good enough that it's worth picking up to try it. But I'll be keeping my eye out for more videos for sure.
Yeah. So I think we're all in agreement on that one, huh?
See, I don't care because I don't have a PS either way. So, yeah.
He's like, you guys talk about it. F this.
I'm only here for the company. So that pretty much wraps up the state of play, unless I missed something.
Concrete Genie.
Yeah.
Concrete Genie, and they also did a Days Gone. They showed some, yes, Days Gone stuff.
More of a storytelling.
Yeah. Which it basically just, on the Days Gone side of things, it just kind of expanded what we already knew. There really wasn't anything. I mean, it did add to it, but to me, it was like, yep, that's what you said the game was going to be like. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It didn't like change my opinion on the game. Although it is one of those games I do think would be fun to play in first person. It'll be one that I like to play because it's a PlayStation exclusive. So I'll probably give it a shot because you can't play it anywhere else. Kind of like Horizon Zero Dawn. But Horizon Zero Dawn, I didn't buy until it was the Game of the Year edition and everything was included, which is probably how I'll do this game also, because that's how I treat my PlayStation. Unless it's VR, I wait like a year and a half to play an exclusive. So,
ouch.
I'm sorry. There's a couple that I've picked up right off the bat, but like Become Human, the Detroit one, I waited until it was on sale because the more I watched it, the more I was like, I'm not going to pay $60 for that. Now, I probably should have got Zero Dawn on release, because now that I've played it, I regret waiting, because that game is incredible.
Oh,
that
good.
Is one of the best games. I think, even though it's like, what now, like a year, 2 years old now, it is probably by far the best PlayStation game I've played, period. It's so good.
Yeah, it is really good. I'm going to pick up Days Gone right away. I think I already have it pre-ordered. It should be, I don't know, I'm excited for it. I'm excited for the interchanging map with the weather impacting how you do missions. Mm-hmm. I heard a video or an interview where they were saying, like, you can do every storyline separately. It isn't really, like, you're stuck. Like, if I want to do a certain set of missions and complete those, I can without completing the main story. So I kind of like that you can jump around and do what you really like first, and you don't have to do certain things in the game if you are not very good or don't like it or just not strong enough yet. Like, I don't think you can get stuck like some other games you will in those open world kind of concepts. So I was really excited to see that in State of Play and see the story mode kind of be fleshed out a little more. And yeah, so it'll be a good game. I think you'll regret not picking it up right away.
Probably. I'll be excited to see you stream it though, right?
I am going to stream it. That is on my list of games to stream for April. What is it? April 27th? Is that the right date?
I believe so. Yeah, I think so.
So yeah.
26.
Depending on how I pre-ordered it, I may do a midnight launch night stream on it.
Ooh, that'd be nice.
I can't remember if I pre-ordered it through Amazon or through the PlayStation. I got to look at that, I guess.
That's right, listeners. Stay up late to listen to his midnight stream on the 26th, right?
Yes.
Yes. I'd like to see how many people do that, see how many loyal followers we have.
With new games, you'd be surprised. There's a lot of people that stay up and watch those new games right away.
Not me. I got work in the morning.
Yeah, I usually book off the next day.
Yeah.
Ooh, look at me. I have a PS. I can play. I can't play.
He's just sitting there. He's like, oh, God, these guys. The last but not least one I think that we could talk about would be the Concrete Genie, which has VR support in it. Brad, you said that did you watch the trailer for this one, too?
Yep.
What did you think? That...
I really liked it. The whole concept of like the real world being dark and him like remaking a new world and using his art, it reminded me of like those indie games or like Journey and Echo and what's that other one? Rhyme? Is it Rhyme? That style of game. So. It's like that style of game where it's a very linear story, but a really cool concept, really cool visuals, stuff that you just like watching. Like, you know, like, it's a game I may not even play. I may just watch someone play it.
When I was watching the trailer of it, I was like, this reminds me of that, the Mickey, what is it? Was that Mickey game?
I'm going to look that up. I know what you're talking about.
Yeah. The Mickey Mouse game where he like Mickey paints Inc. everything or something like that. Yeah. That's what it reminded me of. It reminded me of a really pretty version of that.
Epic Mickey.
Epic Mickey. That was it. That's what it reminded me of, because that's what you do in Epic Mickey. You do the same basic premise, except Mickey's not being bullied by a bunch of heathen-y children. He's
it's just random in the background. This fucking guy. So
part of me is kind of like, I like the story. I'm glad that they showed a VR support, because this game is probably going to be incredible to try in VR, to be painting and doing all the things and see all the world come to life like more immersively. So I'm actually more interested in the VR side of it. But it does look like a really well put together game. So this is one that I'll probably keep an eye on, because not only will I play it, but I think this is something that my kids would probably enjoy playing as well.
Yeah, I can see that. It's definitely a very family friendly game.
Yeah. So I think that wraps it up. So we're going to let Rodney join back into his own podcast and talk about something that he might be interested in.
Yeah, I had a nap because I was up late last night. So, but yeah, the Borderlands 3, let's talk about that. So I've played Borderlands 2. I did not play Borderlands 1, even though 1 is getting an HD overhaul, if you will. So, what were your guys' thoughts on that?
About damn time.
Right? I agree with exactly what you just said. Like, oh man, it's been too long. It's been too damn long for another Borderlands.
I didn't even finish Borderlands 2, though. That's the thing. One of the guys I worked with, like, it was when I first moved to Vancouver to work in film, and I knew, like, about nobody. And so basically the only people I knew were people I worked with. So he's like, oh, you should buy Borderlands 2. We'll play together. I'm like, yeah, sure. So I did. And then he started playing, like, cause we had off shifts. So then he started playing like way more than me. So I'm like level 8 and he's level like 30. And I'm like, thanks for waiting, fucking asshole. So
that's how I am with my friends in Division. Division 2 is the same way. I'm level 9 and all my friends are level 28 and 30. So I'm like, oh man, I suck.
Yeah,
but I know how you feel.
I'm trying to remember the game because it was so long ago. I know it was FPS looter shooter kind of thing, right?
Yeah, it's like a cartoon looter shooter. I don't want to say cartoon because it's not really, but it's like that.
It's cel-shaded
comic book. Yeah, cel-shaded. I remember. I feel like it's more like a comic book. Kind of feels like you're playing a comic book.
And it's really funny stories, really funny characters. You want to play it because you want to meet those characters more, but you also want to play it because you like the guns you get and you like killing things. Like, the killing in that game is so much fun.
Bradley, the killing is so much fun.
I'm glad I wasn't the only one who thought that when he was saying it.
Hey. It is, though. Like, the characters, like, even the boss characters that you fight, they're just, like, you want to kill them.
I agree, because I actually played Borderlands 1. I didn't play Borderlands 2, which is a shame, but I did play there was an offshoot expansion to the game. Yeah, and I played that, though. So, all of them are great. I think I might actually pick up the Ultra HD, the Handsome Collection, I think is what it's called, that has has 1, 2 and the prequel all combined, I believe, and all the DLC. So I think I might actually pick that up and replay all of it before I play Borderlands before I pick up Borderlands 3, mostly because I think it might be kind of fun to stream replaying the original two again. So
they're a lot of fun.
Yeah,
I don't know if I'll pick them back up because I feel like I've already bought them multiple times. They keep just re-releasing these games, but I may pick them back up. It's one of the things, if I get VR, I'm going to get the Borderlands VR because I want to try it on that.
The Borderlands VR is a blast. I had fun with it. That's probably one of the only ones that I've really... That's one of the first-person shooters I would say is good enough to continue to play for a little while. Again, it's very brightly colored and very fast-paced, so there is a lot of movement. But it's one of those ones that does take you away from the thought of all the other things, so you don't really feel nauseous because you don't feel like you don't lose... You don't get lost into it too much. Like you stay pretty well engaged. I loved it though. If you get an opportunity to pick up a VR headset, I would say the three most worth picking up games right off the bat is the Borderlands VR, Beat Saber, and probably Astro Boy, just because it's got a really good, fun storyline.
So Bradley, if you do pick up the Borderlands VR, please just promise me you're not going to say the words "it's fun to kill people" while you're wearing the VR headset.
I don't know. While I'm playing it, maybe.
Especially when you're streaming.
That's so much fun killing people.
Like, man, we're making a monster here. Yeah. But
goal to pick up VR is probably my birthday gift to myself come the summer. Because that's usually what I do, is I buy myself something fancy for my birthday.
That's always funny that, not saying that it's sad that you buy yourself your own birthday gift, because I do it too. So, they're like, what do you want for your birthday? I want, like, you know, whatever it is. Like, this year, I'm like, I want lights for my studio, like, for streaming, and then I fucking lost my webcams, I'm choked. Anyways, so I'm like, yeah, some lights for streaming. And she's like, okay. And then she doesn't get me that at all. She gets me something else, which is awesome. It was Breaking Benjamin tickets. Fucking stoked. It's in a couple weeks. And then Will actually got me those because he knew she wouldn't buy them for me. So, I got my streaming lights from Will. So awesome. But
my girlfriend's pretty awesome. Like 2 years ago for my birthday, she bought me the Switch. Had to drive around to like different cities to try to pick it up. So she indulges my gaming obsession.
Yeah, Brittany did at the beginning, and now she's like, she doesn't want to buy anything gaming related because she doesn't want me to spend more time doing that than with her. So yeah, that's how that works. But at the beginning, like on Valentine's Day, she bought me Majora's Mask, and I'm like, what? Like the 3D one for the 3DS? I was like, what?
Nice.
I was so confused as to, like, how the fuck she knew, like, where she was going in EB Games, because she's not a gamer.
Woman walks into EB Games, they get help pretty damn quick.
Oh, yeah.
The people behind that counter probably immediately were like, oh, unless it was a girl. Then a female employee at EB or GameStop immediately is like, oh, here we fucking go.
Yeah.
Like...
Be like, you look like you don't belong here. Can I help you with something?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Jump over the counter. It's like act all cool.
It's like the equivalent of me going into like La Senza to buy a gift card. Like, what are you doing here?
You're like that John Travolta meme from Pulp Fiction. You're just like moving your hands around. You're like, I don't know what the fuck's going on.
Yeah. I went and bought a gift card at La Senza, and like, I'm standing in line, and there's, like, all these women around me, and I'm, like, I'm just afraid I'm gonna get fucking, like, stabbed with a fucking pencil or something. But, yeah.
That is a weird fear, right? Like, when you're in a place that normally men don't go by themselves, and you're with a bunch of women, you're like,
Like, I'm very over, very outnumbered here. But,
there's a lot of... There's a lot of estrogen floating around me right now.
But like, you can feel them all staring at you like, who the fuck is
you
that?
You don't belong
guy?
Here.
Yeah. And then the count ups the next up next guy in line for the counter, and they're like, gift card? I'm like, oh, how'd you guess?
No. I dress like a woman in the evenings. I'm sorry.
Like, yeah, my wife sent me down here to buy some bras, but I don't know anything about them. Can you help me with that? And then just to fuck with them. Yeah. But.
This is the moment I'm going to say, so everybody's excited about Borderlands 3 then?
Yep. So, I'm going to pick this one up for sure. So I'll play another looter shooter for once. And yeah,
anything's better than Anthem.
Uh-huh. I was thinking about Anthem actually, because they were just released a new patch with legendary missions, yada fucking yada. So I don't know how we feel about that. It probably doesn't make the game any more playable than it is right now.
Only if you're at endgame, you got to grind your way through to get to the endgame. Once you get to max level, then all that content makes sense. To play through your single player missions is still the same. They haven't changed any of that. I did turn it back on for like 15 minutes the other day. Now when you pick up a mission in Fort Tartar Sauce, you just push Y and it jumps you right to the starting mission. Like, you don't have to go back to your suit, jump in it, do the loading screen, all that good stuff. Hold Y, and it jumps you right into your suit, and you pick to start, and then it jumps you right out into the main missions. Yes. And now there's no loading screen when you go back. So when you're done with said mission, it'll ask you what you want to do next, and you pick it, and it just takes you right back there. You don't have to fly, you don't have to choose. It's much more streamlined than it was, so they did find ways to make the game move a little quicker, so you don't get that long wait. But the the storyline stuff is still bleak and boring, so I haven't played enough to make it to an endgame level, so I don't know if all the other stuff is fun yet, because they won't let me play it.
Yeah, so. That's good, and the fact that you called it Fort Tartar Sauce is fucking amazing. That's funny. Anyway, when I played Destiny, I played it and I was excited, and I'm sure like everyone was, because Bungie was the developer and they just dropped the first three Halos and Reach and then fucking smoke bombed out of there. But the thing that I found with Destiny that was missing was personality for the characters. You know, like Cortana in Halo is an AI, but she still had personality, right? Whereas fucking Spark in Destiny talked to you like super robotic, monotone, fucking no personality, and yeah, I didn't like that about you, because basically Cortana, even though Chief has his own voice, Cortana's more or less the voice of both of them, because Chief is a mainly silent protagonist, and your guy in Destiny is pretty much a silent protagonist. So
yeah, you really don't talk to anybody. Your ghost does most of the work for you.
Yes. Was that his name, Spark? I don't know. I'm fucking long time since I played that game.
I think that's what I can't remember. I don't know. It's been a long time too. I think the first Destiny, your little floaty robot had more personality than the second Destiny.
Yeah.
I think the first one, because he made jokes. Like every once in a while, he'd make like those little quick quips about like what you're not doing right, or where you should be going, or why you didn't do this, or maybe we shouldn't be here. Or, this is a bad idea. He would do that. And then the second one, it was just very monotone. Okay, here's your next mission. And that was it. It was like, kind of took it away from me, guys. Way to go.
Yeah, and what I was getting to was Anthem feels the same way. You know, your character is a more dominant speaker in this, but it doesn't feel organic when he talks. And then when you're out in the suit... the guys that talk to you, I can't remember their title or whatever, but they don't sound that fucking excited either. They're like, oh my god, there's a spike, you need to kill them now. It's like, fuck, you know what I mean?
Okay, I guess so, if I have to.
Yeah.
No, I agree with that, because even when she talks to, like, none of the people, the voice, the animations for the people you talk to in Tartar Sauce, they just don't have anything. And there's the one guy that wants to be, there's like the one kid that wants to be a pilot. He wants to get out there in a suit, and he's the only one with any like enthusiasm.
Yeah.
But he feels fake.
Yeah.
He doesn't feel like he's truly enthusiastic. He's just kind of like, yep, this is my character, I'm supposed to act like this.
Like, yeah,
Yeah, so I agree. Yeah, I think that and Destiny kind of missed the point. And I think that's why both of them kind of have a falling out, because you never got engaged into the game. I get more engaged into Sea of Thieves right now with the fact that I get to create all that myself than those games did, creating the story for you.
Yeah, because...
I think that's the...
Oh, go ahead, Bradley, sir.
Right. I think that's the plus behind Borderlands' story, is Borderlands had such a good story. Even though it's a looter shooter and you play it repetitively, like the same story over and over again, people enjoyed playing that story and having that develop.
It's the people. I agree with that completely.
Like Handsome Jack. In the prequel, Handsome Jack is an amazing character that you want to kill. And yes. I'm saying kill again. But he's a character that you love, you like, and then you start to hate. And you're like, yeah, no, he needs to die.
The only time I've ever felt that about someone was in Far Cry 5. I wanted to fucking kill the father so fucking bad. And then the ending was so melodramatic, it pissed me right off. I was so choked. I'm hoping you guys played Far Cry 5, so you know what I'm talking about?
I know the ending, because I watched my buddy stream it, and I know how mad he was at it.
Yeah, it's fucking...
But I can relate.
Oh, the whole game was so good. And then the fucking last, 5 minutes of the game was just awful.
Yeah.
Yeah. Fucking pissed me off.
I remember him streaming it, and the ending happened, and he had a stunned look on his face, and he just kind of looked, straight at the camera and said, don't buy this game. And then, the stream's done. Bye, guys. Click. He was so upset at the ending.
Just flips off the camera. Fuck you! Bah! Fuck this game.
Who made Far Cry? Who made?
I can't even remember. I can't remember. Once I Google it and I see it, I'm gonna be upset that I didn't remember.
Ubisoft.
Was it Ubisoft? I thought it was
published by Ubisoft.
That's what I thought. I thought it was a Ubisoft, because it kind of follows the way they make games. I mean, it's a big open world shooter, with endless content supposedly that ends in a depressing finish, which is Ubisoft in a nutshell.
Yeah, well, the other games weren't like that. This is the only one that really had that ending that pissed everyone off. But this is also the only game that had a sequel to it. No Far Cry has really been a sequel to another. They've all been a new standalone story.
Yeah, I think the last Far Cry I played was 4. I think I played 4, and that was about it. Because every time I see one, I'm like, I don't think so. And this one was the same way. I was like, it looks amazing. Oh, I should really play this. But I'm like, something tells me something's gonna go wrong with this. And I'm glad I thought that. I wish I would have felt that way about Anthem.
Well, I mean, the betas are fun. Like, whenever they release betas for these games, they are fun, but everyone's like, oh, it's a beta, there's more shit coming. But it hasn't really done that lately. Like, in the last couple years, the betas have been basically the fucking final game.
Yeah, it's happened more often than really should have been happening.
The only changes is, they've tweaked a couple glitches that came out in the beta, and they added, two or three more, UI changes or something like that. Like, it's not fucking massive. I don't even know what the final... there's no, Charlie, stage in the gaming world, I think. I don't know. We should ask our friend Curtis from Kabam Games.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, because there's always the alpha, and then there's the beta, and then there's... I guess Charlie is the game.
Charlie's the game. But,
And then Delta is all the updates to fix it.
Yeah. And then Echo is revamping the game because everyone fucking hates it.
And then EA fires a bunch of people. That's how that works.
Yeah. Yeah. And then they make it all the way to Z when the game doesn't fucking exist anymore because they obliterated it.
Far Cry wasn't... I can't get involved in that conversation too much because Far Cry wasn't one that I got too deep into. I play a lot of Ubisoft's... or however you say it. I play a lot of their Ghost Recons and their Divisions. I like their their shooters, their third-person shooter games, I think, is where I usually fall into their... Oh, and that and Assassin's Creed, because anything that's Assassin's Creed is usually pretty well put together.
Especially lately, like, since they changed the formula with Origins and Odyssey, like, oh yeah, it's pumping.
Yeah, Odyssey was great. Oh my gosh, what a good game.
I still haven't finished it. I need to go back and play that. But I also want to play Apex with Bradley so that I can fucking level up. He's been releasing some kick-ass videos on the Discord. Those were all your kills, right?
Yeah, all the ones. So on my Instagram, and I have linked them to Discord, are all kind of my clips of the day I do.
Nice.
Yeah, those are really good. Yeah, that was fun. I enjoy watching those because I'm like, yeah, I can't do that. So it's fun to watch somebody who can.
He got a fucking triple B kill. I'm like, what? He got a triple B kill, and he got a triple take kill with, like, not, like, using it basically as a shotgun. He only had a times...
Yeah, the last guy was just a shotgun.
Yeah. You had a times three on there, I think, didn't you?
No, I don't... Well, maybe. I don't remember.
I think you had a times three on there. But yeah, you just... Oh, yeah, it was good. You're good, I gotta play with you now so I get more wins.
I haven't played on Xbox since the last time we played. I've been playing with my buddy on PlayStation lately.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So, get on, and we'll play some.
Yeah, that was very forceful of him how he said that, but yeah.
Get on, and we'll play some. We'll kill people.
Kill people with me.
I didn't want to say that again.
We should maybe wrap it up. I'm actually quite sad Will wasn't able to join us, but Will's probably asleep because he still hasn't texted me back from an hour ago. So I put, we are going to start, text me, I'll add you to the call, and then radio silence. Silence.
Yeah, you kept him up late playing Sea of Thieves, killing people.
We were the ones being fucking struck, we were. Yeah, we died a lot. Mainly from from fucking powder keg skeletons.
Yeah, those guys, I hate those fucking guys.
Like, every second one was a fucking powder keg skeleton. And then when you're fighting other skeletons, if you swing your sword or shoot your gun, there's like a 5-second delay between that action and when you can sprint again. So he's like right behind you with the barrel, like, and you're just like smashing left stick, like, fucking run!
You know, any suicide style character in a game is probably my most hated, because in Division 2 there's those crazy like chicks or dudes or whatever with the nightsticks that just come like charging at you, and out of all of the thing that I hate them the most, more than anything,
I agree.
I can't, and you try to shoot them and for whatever reason you keep missing them, and maybe it's because I suck, doesn't matter. The point is, anything that's usually tries to kill you in some kind of a suicide fashion is always the biggest pain in the ass. And I agree. Yep. The skeletons with their damn barrels, fucking pains in the ass.
Yep. All right. So I hope Will doesn't hate me for starting the podcast without him. But hi, Will. So yeah,
I
guys,
miss you, Will.
Catch you next time, man.
Hopefully.
Well, hopefully. Whatever. Anyways, thanks a lot for listening, guys. Check us out on our website, videogamesnow.ca, for our all of our links to our social media websites, where you can join the chat and let us know what you think of the show and anything you may want us to do in future shows. Actually, one thing I did wanted to bring up, we're going to talk about this right after the podcast, but another worth it a year later video I'm thinking of doing, but I'm not sure what game to do. I was thinking Far Cry 5, actually. But I'm not really sure, so maybe we'll throw a poll up on our website, and we'll figure out what you guys want me to play to see if it's worth it a year later. So, alright guys, thanks a lot. We'll see you all in the next one. Bye-bye.
See you.
Bye.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.